Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. On today's show, we'll hear from the organization Shoot for the Troops, introduce the new state commander for the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans, and get an update from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
As we embrace the joys of summer, it is crucial to prioritize safety to ensure everyone enjoys the season to its fullest. First, water safety is paramount. Always swim in designated areas, never leave children unattended, and wear life jackets when boating. Heat-related illnesses are a real danger. Stay hydrated, take breaks in the shade, and look out for vulnerable individuals like the elderly and young children. Protect yourself from sun by using sunscreen, wearing hats, and sunglasses. For outdoor enthusiasts, stick to marked trails, carry enough supplies, and inform someone of your plans. Be aware of local wildlife and respect their habitat. On the road, always wear a seatbelt, follow traffic laws, and avoid distractions. If you plan to drink, ensure you have a designated driver or alternative transportation. Lastly, look out for one another in our communities. A quick check-in can make a big difference. Let's make this summer safe and enjoyable for everyone.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Before I introduce our first guest, I want to take a moment and express my deep gratitude and appreciation for Tom Lyons. Tom has been the primary host of Minnesota Military Radio since its inception about 14 years ago. Tom was approached with an idea to host a program that would share pertinent information and updates to our Minnesota service members, veterans, and their families. One thing that has remained consistent over the years is the passion Tom brought to the show week after week and his ardent desire to serve. Today, on show number 742 of Minnesota Military Radio, I officially take the reins as the primary host. Although Tom won't be the primary host anymore, you'll still hear his voice when he occasionally fills in for me. Tom, thank you for your service and for helping to bring Minnesota Military Radio to life. Thanks for having faith and confidence in me and for trusting me with this great platform. I'm humbled and honored for this opportunity, and I want you to know that I'll do my best to continue the standard of excellence you established with Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me in the studio is Eduardo Suarez. He's the president of the nonprofit organization Shoot for the Troops. Eduardo, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Doug, well, congrats on taking the reins, and thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I appreciate that. You know, it's something that's been in the works for a little while with Tom, and he's done such a great job on this show, and, you know, it's time for him to enjoy a little bit more of life and do some of the things that he and his lovely bride would like to be able to do. So thank you for those words. Now, Shoot for the Troops. Now, the last time I saw you, you're in uniform, so I want our audience to know that you do serve, but today you're not here representing service or in an official capacity of your service. You're here because of this organization called Shoot for the Troops, which isn't a stranger to Minnesota Military Radio. We've had you on the show a few times. You've talked about several things over the last few years about Shoot for the Troops, and I'm just wondering if you might be able to share with us some updates, what's going on, what's new, what's been happening.
Well, hey, thanks for the opportunity. Look, we've been around for almost 15 years now, making an impact in the veteran-connected community. And last year, a couple of our founding board members decided it was time to step down and hand off the reins. We weren't quite sure if SFTT, as we call it, was going to continue. But lucky enough, some of our supporters decided to step up and say, you know, this is really important work. And so we were proud to have Chuck Haas from Hugo Yellow Ribbon sign him on the board. Ron Bray from WSB came on board as well. Even my wife is now a board member. And so it was great to hear the community that supports us all these last year. I thought it was important to keep going to work, and we're grateful. So for that, you know, normally we've been doing two events a year, but this year as the board's ramping up and getting reestablished, we're going to focus our efforts on one event and make it really count this year.
Okay, and so, you know, one of the things we were talking about before the before we started recording here today is, you know, volunteerism. And, you know, it takes an organization like Shoot for the Troops, volunteers, as many other not-for-profit organizations, you got to have those people that are willing to donate their time, their effort, and sometimes their own money, right, to help keep this organization going. And so volunteers is something that just you really rely on.
We can't function without them. And, you know, we have some folks who stayed on board. So Sean Flavin and Dan Bukinski, they're also founders. They stayed on board to see this carry through this transition time, as well as Spencer Fenske from one of the companies that supports us over the years. So we need volunteers to make this thing work. And we all know the value in keeping them. And really important thing is keeping that value proposition alive and well and giving that reason to show up every day to keep supporting a cause worthwhile.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to imagine you must have a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, you were wondering kind of what the future of Shoot for the Troops was going to look like. And then you get a guy like a Chuck Haas and others that said, hey, Eduardo, you're going to keep this thing going, and the way we're going to do it is I'm going to step up, I'm going to volunteer, and I'm going to support you.
Exactly, and I think the reason why is because folks like that, they see the immediate impact of the work that we do, or organizations like us. They see the need out there in the veteran community. They know how important the work is. And so because someone like Chuck and Ron who value that, they couldn't just sit by the sidelines and let it happen. So we're grateful for them stepping up.
And so you said that you've been in existence for 15 years, so you've been raising money. Really, what is the mission, though, of Shoot for the Troops? Why do you exist? What are you raising awareness for?
You know, the real mission, the core mission, really, is to support military service members, veterans, and their families deployed or stateside who are in need of resources due to economic or special hardships. And those hardships are real. Now, we all know that the deployments aren't what they used to be, like you and I served together. But the training's still there. There's still a demand, and we ask a lot of our service members, specifically the Minnesota Guard, but all branches of service. And because of that, there's still a need that our veteran community needs us, and we're here to help.
And so does the name dictate what you do?
Well, in essence, it does. Shoot for the Troops is basically a Sporting Clays fundraising event. So we're shooting for the troops, literally. And all the money we raise goes to a variety of different causes. There are a lot of organizations that focus primarily on one aspect in the need. So, for instance, maybe it's solving veterans' homelessness, or maybe it's supporting those who currently serve. We touch the entire spectrum intentionally because there's needs across the entire spectrum of what kind of person who needs help. It could be serving, could be deployed, could be a veteran, you name it, a family in need. We want to touch all of it.
And so what I'm hearing you say is that you'll have this event. We're going to focus on one event this year, and you're going to raise money. But then what you want to do with that money is support organizations that are doing the things to provide the service that our veterans need to tackle whatever the situation is.
Exactly. For instance, one example is a good portion of our fundraising goes towards the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. You know the organization as well. It's well-founded in Minnesota, provides a tremendous service and grants to those currently serving. Even last year, we made a donation to MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council on Veterans, to help solve veteran homelessness. We also give to organizations that look at the mental health of our service members. So we look at the whole spectrum, and it could be a variety of things. It could be contributing to grant money. It could be contributing to help them communicate their services. What we ask people to do is reach out to us early and ask what your need is so that the board can take that into consideration.
And my notes say that you've raised over $300,000 since your existence. And that $300,000 then comes in through your fundraising events, and then you turn around and send it right out to these other organizations that you partner with.
Exactly. It's that simple. And it's much appreciated. I can tell you, we ask our recipients to report back to us how that money was used, so we can tell our supporters exactly the benefit that's being achieved by their donations year over year.
I think that's one of the important things, right? Is it's one thing for me to give you $20 because you're a nice guy and you asked for it, but it's another thing for you to take the $20, put it to good use, and then be able to report back and say, here's how your money was spent. Here are the things, the initiatives we were able to tackle over the past year or whatever the time frame is.
Exactly. And a lot of times we'll ask those organizations to give us a story or something we can add to our website to kind of tell that story. And a lot of times, you know, veterans are pretty proud people. Sometimes it's even hard to get that story back. But I do know we're making a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine it is because you and I both, you're still serving. I served, and the people that we served with, you know, there's a lot of prideful people. And the last thing most veterans or service members want to do is ask for help because we're pretty tough.
Yeah, and that still remains today. And so I think, you know, support organizations that make that ask easier goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take a quick break here. Then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about how people can support you. And then we want to talk about the big event coming up, okay?
Sounds great.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back and talk about more information on Shoot for the Troops. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is Eduardo Suarez. He's the president of the nonprofit organization Shoot for the Troops. In the last segment, we were talking about, you know, how you're raising the money and you're good stewards with the money, a organization that I think people can get behind and support. So let's talk about that. What kind of support do you really need? And then how can people find out more information about you and what you do?
Well, you know, again, through our shooting sports events, you know, we take that money and apply it to different organizations. I mentioned a couple earlier. We also support the Veterans Resiliency Project, and they provide the light therapy for folks to dealing with PTSD. We help them with their programming, with their advertising and promotion of their services. St. Cloud Stand Downs, another long-lasting organization in St. Cloud area, provides clothing and assistance to veterans in the community. And then most recently, the Veteran Valor Farm, which just had their grand opening. It's basically a working farm for homeless veterans. They had their grand opening just this last month and starting to receive residents for that program. So again, we crossed a whole spectrum. Through our shooting event coming up here on 9/11, it's going to be at Wild Wings of Oneka, longtime partner of ours for the last several years, helping out. And registration is currently open. We've already got a couple of sponsors on board already. People are registering their teams. Would love to get 20 to 25 teams registered for that event. So participating and just showing up for the shoot is a great way to support. If you want to go above and beyond that, we have different sponsorship levels. You can visit our website at shootforthetroopsmn.com to learn more about that.
And so tell me, what is a typical day going to look like at this shoot? You know, am I showing up at Zero Dark 30 and it's a full day of shooting and eating, or what does it generally look like?
Well, it's certainly not that. Registration opens at 12:30 until about 1:30. Shooting begins around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. When they get back from the shoot, it's a 50 clay bird shoot. Get back around 4 o'clock to 5. There's a social hour. We've got some raffles and some games and other ways we can raise some money and contribute. And then we have a wild game feed dinner as part of the package. Great chance for folks to get together and support the veteran community.
Well, I've had the opportunity to have that wild game feed out there at Wild Wings, and that's worth the price of admission right there.
It is. In fact, thanks to Chuck Haas and Hugo Ribbon, they've actually reserved 150 of the birds that they normally would give away. Reserved that for the wild game dinner. So, again, Yellow Ribbon, Hugo, and Wild Wings just makes it much easier to host an event there.
So the organization's been in existence for 15 years. How long have you been involved with the organization?
I started to get involved just as a competitor. They wanted to have a veteran there as part of the shoot. I would often talk about the needs of the Minnesota National Guard. And over the years, my involvement became more direct involvement to supporting the event itself. And then in the last few years, I've been president.
That's kind of the way it works, though, right? They just kind of ease you into it. The next thing you know, they set the hook.
They set the hook, exactly. But I tell you, I'm glad they did it. I mean, I often find that a lot of folks, many of our peers, in fact, have gotten involved in volunteerism. And I just think it's just a natural fit for those who serve and want to keep serving, whether it's still wearing uniform or not.
Yeah, you know, Tom, you know, we talk about him and the amount of volunteerism that he does, the number of boards that he's involved in. We were talking about it before the show, the volunteering you do, the volunteering I do. You know, we're still working full time, though. But, you know, there's a calling to service. And some people just have that inside of them. And, you know, it almost turns into another full time job.
It does. And I think that the nonprofit world is looking for folks with leadership and executive experience because you bring value to the organization.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I've been approached for a couple of things specifically because of the service. Now, of course, a lot of the connections that you can bring with it, the network that you've already established, really certainly helps as well.
Exactly.
So looking over the number of years that you've been involved with it, starting off as a person who was a shooter, what are you most proud of as it relates to what this organization has done in the time frame that you've been a part of it?
Look, I think we've become better at conducting our events. I mean, we get a lot of feedback when they were up at Rice Creek or down at Wild Wings is how well we execute events. They're well organized. They're well supported. Like Federal Premium Ammunition, They provide all the shotgun shells for the events. So I think over the years, how well we've connected with our network to make this event happen year over year, really proud of how well organized it is and how effective we are at delivering a quality event and at the same time raising a lot of money.
Yeah, and Federal, what a great partner to have. I know that they support, obviously, you, but they support the youth camp. They're always right there saying, yeah, we want to help out, especially as it relates to veteran issues or causes.
Well, right along volunteerism, our partners are really key to this thing. You can't do it without them. We have a number of recurring sponsors. Dennis Kirk's back again for a third year. Ames Construction's back again for a number of years. We rely on folks. I think to come back year over year to keep this program going.
Yeah. All right. So you're very proud of the way you've progressed and the way you run these events. I would imagine that as the president, then you see the people that are requesting funds. Is there any particular like touching story or thing that you can recall where it really kind of had an impact or hit one of those soft spots in you because you were able to step up as an organization and provide some type of a service?
Well, I think it was last year at the annual golf outing for MMFF when they had a personal story about an individual who had requested a grant. And I didn't say anything afterwards, but I actually knew the person they were talking about. I think when you have those real, genuine touch points, when you realize that they're having an immediate impact, that's what brings you back to year over year to stay on the board. That's why you keep giving your time, because you know you're making a difference. You know, when I hear how many articles of clothing St. Cloud Stanhill's given away, that's immediate impact. When I hear about the numbers for service members served in a particular nonprofit, that tells me we're making a difference. When I see what MACV's doing, I know we're making – that's what we need to hear.
Yeah, so it's not maybe necessarily a specific organization, but it's the greater good that you get to help, as Neil Lloyd calls it, right? The big veterans, right? Not just, you know, those that are inside of your purview, but it doesn't matter who, it's how, and you know, the person, the entity that can provide the best service to fill the need or that gap. Is in your experience, the interaction that you've had, and you're looking across our veteran community, what do you think really is the biggest need, though, for those that are serving right now or even veterans and their families? Where do you kind of see one of those gaps?
Yeah, I don't know if it's one gap in particular. You know, when I think about those currently serving, you know, even when you were serving, we always talk about retention and recruitment, right? I mean, anything we can do in the veteran support community to help that person serve to their fullest and to as long as they need to, I think that's really matters, right? The other piece, too, is our veterans, those who have served. It's really important to ensure that we value their service and ensure that there are, you know, there aren't any gaps in coverage and support. And, you know, Minnesota's really good. You know this, Doug, as well as I do. It's good to be a veteran in Minnesota, right? Yeah. It really is. But it's not. We don't have anything covered. Knowing the fact that we can look at food insecurity is another, I think, increasingly we see out in the veteran community. You wouldn't think about it in Minnesota, but it's a real problem, right?
Yeah.
And so we're happy to support that. And again, anything that we can do to fill a gap as it relates to mental health is also really important.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so one more time, tell us about the big event, when it is, where it is, and how people can support you.
Okay, 9/11, September 11, 2024, we're going to be at Wild Wings of Oneka. Registration is currently live on our website at shootforthetroopsmn.com. Please check it out. Ways to support, get your teams registered. My contact's info on there if you want to get a hold of me. Give me a call.
Are you going to shoot this year, or do you have to?
I don't shoot anymore, Doug. I don't have time. I'm helping run the event.
More importantly, do you still have the eyesight?
Well, no, I'm worried. But that's okay.
Well, you know what? Maybe you'll be able to get out there again sometime when someone else steps up and says, you know what, I think it's time for me to be president so you can go back and continue volunteering and then you can get back out on the range, so to speak. Hey, really great to have you in the studio with us today. Talk to us about Shoot for the Troops. Thanks for the work that you're doing, raising over $300,000, 15 years, hopefully many, many more years ahead of you with the volunteers you've got in your staff. So thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Doug. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. That's Eduardo Suarez. He was Shoot for the Troops. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we'll have a conversation with the new state commander for the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Brad Lindsay.
Significant resources have been invested in Minnesota's efforts to end veterans' homelessness. While a wide range of community partners work to find homes for veterans, property managers are the critical link in the housing process. If you're a property manager willing to provide housing to a veteran, you may qualify for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Homes for Veterans Property Management Incentive Program. It offers property managers the support, financial incentive, and risk protection that makes doing the right thing the smartest thing. To learn more about how you can be compensated for supporting the transition of unhoused veterans to permanent housing, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org and search for the homelessness and prevention page. Help us to become the fourth state in the country to effectively end homelessness among veterans.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us in the studio now is Othar Martin. Othar is a veteran of the United States Army and a Vietnam veteran. Over the past 25 years, Othar has held many roles within the DAV, such as chaplain, chapter junior, vice, senior vice, chapter service officer, and commander at Chapter 37 in Hutchinson, Minnesota. On April 27th, 2024, Othar was selected as the state commander. Othar, thank you for your service. Congratulations on your selection to serve as the state commander, and welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Glad to have you here. We appreciate you making the trek in to spend some time with us on Minnesota Military Radio. It's good to get to know you. We love having our service organizations on, getting our audience introduced to the new commanders and presidents of each of the chapters. But let's just start off getting to know you a little bit. I mentioned in the opening that you're an Army veteran. You served during Vietnam as well. Tell us a little bit about your military service and what got you involved with the DAV.
Well, over in Vietnam, I was trained in fire direction control for the artillery, and I was assigned to a Vietnamese Ranger unit. For the first 4.5 months, I started out as the RTO, and then our second lieutenant got wounded, so I ended up doing his job and my job for the next basically 4.5 months. So I was in charge of adjusting all the artillery, calling in air support, keeping communications, and keeping where we were at, which was tough in them days because they didn't have GPS locators. It was just a bunch of outdated maps, and you had to guess at your best, you know.
Yeah.
But after I got injured the second time, they put me back in the headquarters battalion at Dao Tiang, and I, after I recovered, I was put on convoy security, so I basically just rode the convoys for the rest of my time there.
And what led you to join in the military? Was that a draft situation, or did you volunteer?
I volunteered, but it was one of those situations where I had a little problem with the law, so they said you either go in or you go to jail, and I didn't want to go to jail. So.
Yeah, yeah. Although sometimes somebody might say, well, service at a certain period of time kind of felt like I was being in jail.
Exactly. I mean, I thought more than once about that after I was over in Vietnam, whether I made the right decision.
Yeah, well, we're glad that you made it back. We're thankful for your service, so thank you for that. Tell us why the DAV. What led you to the DAV?
Well, I had been through the chairs at the local Legion, American Legion level. I had been through the chairs at the local VFW level, and the DAV seemed to be more dedicated to helping veterans. And I thought when I first came back, I needed a lot of help, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was my way of giving back. So that's why I went full bore as a DAV rep at the the local level and then up the chairs in the state.
And you were telling me before the show that, because I had asked you, You know, is this one of those things where, you know, you were really seeking this new position, or did someone kind of force you into it? And you said someone kind of forced you into doing it.
Yes, my wife said, you've been in this enough years now, you might as well go all the way and be commander. And so I had to give in to her, you know. So I'm kind of glad I did, because this is kind of the ultimate of service, this 1 year as commander, because you get to meet a lot of wonderful veterans, a lot of wonderful supporters. And it's, like I said, it gives me gratitude and giving back for those that helped me along the way.
Yeah, and you get an opportunity to come on Minnesota Military Radio. So
yeah,
that's pretty
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get down to business then. Let's talk a little bit about the legislative season. I know that you've got a guy over there very involved with legislative initiatives in Trent. And how did it go for you all this year?
Well, I tell you, having Trent Dilks as our legislative coordinator, the guy is amazing. I mean, he does things that I didn't think were imaginable even. And we had some rough patches, but he's like a dog on a bone. He don't let up until he gets what he wants done, you know. And so we got the omnibus bill passed for the third time in a row. And what's unique about it now is that it's not tied to anything else. It's strictly for the military. It doesn't take away from transportation or health issues for the veterans organizations or any of the schools. You know, it's strictly a bill dealing with helping veterans, and that's what we were after all those years, and we finally got it done the last 3 years, but the last year has been the best.
Yeah, and I know on this program here many times the governor of our state has been asked about the omnibus bill. And he has stated that is his plan and desire moving forward, is to make sure it stays that way, because veteran issues, you know, it's a combined effort, you know, and it's not partisan. And so we should separate it out and get the things done for the service members for the benefits that they deserve.
Yeah, because, you know, Governor Walz has been a great supporter, along with Amy Klobuchar and Tom Emmer for the veterans organizations and the veterans assistance. And, you know, it's when I came back from Vietnam, it was a political war. It wasn't a war that was fought any other way. It was fought over politics, and that continued on until, like I said, about 3 years ago, when they finally said, "Hey, we got to take the war away from the warrior,"
yeah,
because that's what happened. We got blamed for all the shortcomings, and didn't get any credit for what we actually did.
This would be a great time to plug MinFluence, too. I know that was a program that Trent put together, and absolutely a key component to helping to keep the audience aware of the legislative initiatives going on that not only the DAV is pushing, but then also as the Commander's Task Force, when you all get together and do that. So let's talk about one of the things you've already mentioned, because we've only got about a minute and a half in this segment here, and that is transportation. So what kind of update do you have about the DAV's transportation program?
Well, we put on about 918,000 miles on our vehicles last year, transporting free of charge veterans to their appointments. Most of them that we transport with the state vehicles are transported to, you know, Minneapolis, St. Cloud, VA, or any of the affiliated dispensaries in the state. But we have one chapter out in Hutchinson that has six vehicles where we will transport in basically a four-county area. If you have an appointment, if you're a veteran, have an appointment at a private facility that the state or the county and the state DAV normally doesn't go to. So we fill that gap in there. So it's great. It's an all-volunteer organization. Nobody gets paid. We're replacing about 20 vehicles this year. We'll be going to, I believe it's New Ulm, I forget where, Rochester, Minneapolis, and St. Cloud.
Wow.
They'll be updating the vehicles that are wore out.
And we know that you've supported Vets Day on the Hill. You supported the 50th anniversary of the commemoration event of your Vietnam War, and just a lot of things that you all touch, and that transportation program is extremely valued for. So thank you. Thank you for that. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about a couple of other initiatives that you're all involved with and get an update from that. We're speaking with Othar Martin from the DAV. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In the studio with me is Othar Martin. He's the commander, the new state commander for the DAV. And Othar, before we went to a break, you're talking about the transportation program. And again, we appreciate what you all do there, what the DAV does. But another program that you are involved with and you're teaming up with the VA Medical Center is this food insecurity program. I thought maybe you could just give us a little update on where that is.
Yeah, we found out that about 11% of the working age veterans experience food insecurity. So we set up a program where once a week you're able to go, subsidize your food supply at the VA Medical Center. We also have a program where at the local chapter in Hutchinson, we do a food pack, do 50,000 meals, and they're basically like the old ERP rations where it's just add hot water and they're a full-blown meal with good nutrition. And we're doing that on the 27th of July out in Stuart, Minnesota at the old Stuart High School area. And we use that 50,000 meals to help families of deployed soldiers, homeless veterans, and then we take some to the St. Cloud Stand Down. We do some to the food shelves in the area.
Wow. Well, thank you for that. And then there's another program that you're very heavily involved with. One of the things that the DAV is pretty well known for is outdoor programming. And you've got a few things going on this summer, fall. Maybe you could talk about that a little bit too.
Yeah, we have a wonderful director of that, John Carson. He, along with Butch Whitehead, our adjutant, kind of sets up programs for veterans. Right now we have a women's veterans paddle and hike event coming up July 18th to the 21st at the Apostle Islands. On August 26th, we have the Rainy Lake houseboat trip. On September 5th, we have the Glacier National Park hike and exploration. And on September 6th, we have the Ontario fishing trip. And then, we'll have other events through the course of the winter, but those are the upcoming events. And that's all funded by the DAV. It's all free to whoever wants to participate. All you have to do is go to davmn.org and click on the application and apply and put your name in.
Why does the DAV do outdoor events? What is really the purpose of having those?
Well, with my era of veteran in Vietnam, it was always tough for me to talk about my service. And it's set for not only Vietnam veterans, but Afghan and Iraq and Persian Gulf. And so this is our way of getting veterans together, and they have the camaraderie. They kind of open up a little bit. Everybody tells their story eventually. And it's uplifting when you do that, because I know I held it inside for years and it just eats you away. And yeah. And the only way to do it is to talk to somebody that can relate to you.
I think that's the key right there is someone who can relate to you. So if people want to support through donations or whatever for events like that, or the food insecurity initiative, or to the transportation causes, davmn.org. Also, if there's a veteran out there that's looking to get involved with one of these outdoor events, they should go to that same website and they get that information.
Exactly. There's different sections of that website. If you want to volunteer, you want to donate, whatever. We always need volunteer drivers too. So anybody that has, even if you have one day a week, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Cause we're a total volunteer organization. So we got to do with what we got,
Yep. We've got less than a minute. What's your project for the year?
Okay. Well, I'm going to do the food insecurity thing. We're going to do the food packs. We're going to hopefully end veterans homelessness. And I'm part of my main priorities is helping women veterans get their care and recognition that they so deserve, because it's always been a man's thing, and the women kind of got shoved aside, and that's no more.
Yeah, especially as the demographics have shifted and changed, we've got more and more women veterans and women service members inside of the ranks.
Correct.
Well, Other Commander, thank you so much for joining us here on Minnesota Military Radio. Really appreciate you taking the time to come in the studio with us.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
That's Other Martin, who is the State Commander of the DAV. Joining us now is the Director of the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Doug. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful to chat with you, and always great to be able to get an update of what's going on out at the Minneapolis VA. And, you know, one of the things I know that we've talked about several times on the show is the Women's Clinic. And I'm just wondering if you've got any new news on that. What's going on with that Women's Clinic?
Yeah, thanks. And I love talking about women's health issues. And so thanks for on this episode. We'll do a little bit about that. So we are having a groundbreaking. We're funded, and we've been funded for a little while, and we're just sort of putting together the logistics. But we anticipate that this September we are going to put a shovel in the ground, and it's going to take 18 months to construct the building. It's going to be a beautiful new building. We're ready by the summer of 2026. But by September, we will put a shovel in the ground and make it official.
Wow, we're looking forward to that, and I bet many of your women veteran patients are looking forward to having that too, so they can have their space to go receive the fantastic health care that you all provide.
Yeah, we've heard that loud and clear from our women veterans that they desire that, and I think they feel more comfortable coming to our medical center when we can provide a private space. So, we're finally bringing that to fruition, and I couldn't be more pleased.
Yeah, and let's face it, they deserve it. We just had the new state commander of the DAV on, and he talked about or mentioned how, women have kind of been put to the side, and mm-hmm. That's time that we bring them to the forefront and give them a state-of-the-art facility and give them the great care that we know you all provide.
Absolutely.
But still talking about the women's clinic, there's some other breaking news about the clinic.
Yeah, so one of the exciting things is that we're going to start a process for naming the Women's Veteran Clinic, and we're going to start accepting nominations, and we'll get more word out on that, but we are going to be accepting nominations, naming the clinic after an extraordinary woman veteran, and sort of acknowledging and respecting women veterans, women culture, and we're going to be taking nomination packets actually via our website, and so any of your listeners can go to our website and find that. Some of the criteria include, we're looking for one of our women veterans who's been honorably discharged, living or deceased, some connection to Minnesota or the Minneapolis Medical Center or the VA, and we're looking for someone who's sort of well-known in our community. We have a lot of distinguished women veterans in our community. And so, again, living or deceased, we're going to be looking to initiate that process. Eventually the Secretary of the VA approves that, but we hope to have all of that complete, certainly, by the time we actually open the clinic in the summer of 2026.
Yeah, what a great idea to name it after a woman veteran that, is from the area or, like you said, kind of well-known in the area. Mm-hmm. Just a way to honor women's service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. So women veterans, we know that you want to create a space for them. Can you talk to us about really what that demand is, though? So, and what I'm referring to is the number of women veterans that are enrolled in a clinic already, and really what's it going to look like as you move forward with after the groundbreaking and finally opening the doors?
Yeah, so we have incrementally increased our number of women veterans enrolled in VA healthcare over the years, but of course we're still short of what I think is the right number, because of course, many, many more women are serving on active duty, the Guard, the Reserve, and rate VA health care and health services. So, in this fiscal year so far, we have served nearly 7,000 unique women veterans at our between our medical center and our community-based clinics. You know, with the expansion of the PACT Act, I hope this enrollment number grows and continues to grow. You know, and women veterans, I think sometimes it's not well understood the services that they can get through our clinics or through our medical center. And, you know, we have women women's health experts at all of our community-based clinics, and certainly here at the medical center. And we offer a broad range of services, you know, to include breast imaging and cervical cancer screening and, you know, the whole lifestyle and mental health care and menopause and family planning, a whole variety of services for women veterans that they would expect to receive in the community. They can get them here at the VA. And you know, of course, we don't do maternity care, but we will absolutely facilitate that for our women veterans, and the VA pays for a lot of that. We'll send those, our women veterans enrolled with us out to get that care in the community and bring them right back here once that's complete. But we try to, again, wrap our arms around women, make sure they get the same level of services that our men get.
Well, we certainly wish you luck as you move forward. We look forward to the groundbreaking, and we hope that Minnesota Military Radio can get involved to be there to really showcase what's going on for you. So thanks so much, Director.
Thanks, Doug.
We appreciate you. That's Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Be sure to join us next week when the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs gives us an update on their efforts to end veteran homelessness. Then we'll meet the Chapter 48-4 commander of the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association. And finally, we'll get a word from the Patriot Guard. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week. You find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.